Well, this morning we've been praising God and with our voices as a united congregation. And man, I love it when we bring Grace Old Jacksonville and Grace Espanol together for worship. The power of the two languages and the multicultural expressions are just awesome. And together they show what God's love is, but also how the Word calls us to love one another. We haven't done it since last Christmas Eve at Bergfeld, and it's just good to be back together doing that. Today, David Ramos joins us. David and his wife, Emily, live in South Florida with their girls, and David pastors one of the campuses of a large multi-site church down there, and it's good to have you here, David. Thank you for being willing to share a little bit about what this meaning of Thanksgiving and giving thanks to the Lord is. So grateful that you're here. And of course, we all know this week is Thanksgiving, right? Friends and family, we're all going to gather around together, around a table and turkey and all the various things that we eat alongside with that, right? Mashed potatoes, stuffing or dressing, depending, right? Amen. Had fights about that? Yeah, yeah. People left our church over the differences, right? Green beans, cranberry sauce, and the rolls. And I'm guessing that you might even have some specialties that you enjoy. Maybe corn souffles, maybe, I don't know, enchiladas or tamales, or at our house, it's creamed onions. Okay? So that's kind of what we do. But Thanksgiving is more than just food, right? It brings to mind a history. It brings to mind the New World and the Pilgrims and the Mayflower and Plymouth Rock and the Indians. It is. It's one of those holidays that we celebrate that way. But did you know that it wasn't until the time of the Civil War that our country actually officially set aside a day to say thank you? On October 3rd, 1963, that would be 1863. Yeah, not 1963. President Abraham Lincoln wrote a declaration proclaiming that the last Thursday in November every year it would be a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benevolent Father who dwells in the heavens. Lincoln knew that something outside of humanity was the source of everything that was good. He went on to urge the nation to humbly ask the Lord to care for widows and orphans from the war, but also to heal the wounds of the nation in the war. This was a great idea indeed, certainly, to give thanks to the Lord. But what's really interesting about that is that it came from a man who showed no evidence of a Christian faith whatsoever. Historians tell us that while Lincoln had been born into a Baptist family and as a little kid imitated preachers and lived a generally moral, upright life, he was a great leader and made proclamations like this one, he showed no evidence of the Christian faith. He was the only president in history to not be a member of a church. He bought a pew for his family to sit in, but he never went. He didn't have any organizational Christian experience and didn't have an outward expression of a personal devotion to God or to the Bible. Here was a guy who at best was a deist, more likely an atheist. But while we can take direction from him in terms of thanking God, yes, we got to look someplace else to figure out how we should do it. And that someplace else is the Bible, and specifically today, the Psalms. The Psalms are a collection of poetic songs that are deeply authentic expressions of fear, of joy, remorse, comfort, pain, compassion, and of course, gratitude. Worshiping and praising God is this response that we're supposed to have in relationship to life, to say thank you to him. In Psalm 111, there's a perfect example of what it means to give thanksgiving, one from which we can take our own cues for the way we thank God. So let me just read that passage to you. Psalm 111 says, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. The psalmist starts this passage with the idea, the statement, praise the Lord. And I think it's really important that we don't just jump right past that and thinking that we know exactly what the psalmist means by it. Because the words praise the Lord have kind of gotten mixed up today. They've lost their significance by the way we use them. We use them to close a statement or to agree with something in preaching or in when somebody teaches. But man, praise the Lord is much more than that. It's not merely a filler or a response. To praise the Lord is to express adoration to the King of the universe. Praising the Lord, man, it goes hand in hand, or better, is lacking full substance if thanksgiving isn't connected to it. The psalmist praises the Lord throughout, and in that praise specifically references giving thanks to the Lord. And that thanksgiving comes from and is given fully and completely from the heart. It's not done out of duty. It's not done out of expectation. It's not done in some way of imitation. It's done because of what God has done, because of what God is, because of who God is. It's a result of a heart being moved to realize that God has given a gift, that God has singled me out and singled you out, that his goodness has been funneled in our direction, that his power has been used on our behalf. But giving is also a humble statement. To be able to give thanks to someone, we have to understand that there is something outside of us that is responsible for who we are and what we have. Consider that you had nothing to do with when you were born, where you were born, or who you were born to. I mean, God determined all of that. And I'll tell you, being born to Denny and Kathy Clark is a massive reason I am who I am and have experienced what I've gotten to experience. But I didn't choose them, and they didn't choose me. God chose us and put us together for one another. There was nothing I did, nothing they did. God did it. And thanksgiving is the statement of acknowledgement that he has a plan. Like that, and that his plan is good. All of life is working his plan in the world, and we're part of his plan. We are not a plan on our own. Thanksgiving is a proclamation of our grateful appreciation of that fact, and that we're not alone, that he's walking with us, that he's meeting our needs, that he's filling our lives with peace and with purpose according to his purpose. Thanksgiving is something that we do both individually, but also corporately. That's what we're doing today. We're thanking the Lord together. We're singing songs. We're praising him. We're offering up prayers of thanksgiving. And corporate thanksgiving has to flow from something. It has to flow from our own personal thanksgiving. And so when you're gathered this Thursday or whenever you're going to do it, or maybe you're going to do it on your own, which is fine too if you're thankful. But when you gather, I'm wondering if you wouldn't come prepared for that moment, to have spent time thanking the Lord personally before you begin to share it corporately. I would love for you to have come to that moment having experienced and expressed gratitude to God prior to that moment. You know, the power of this passage is that it directs us towards the kinds of things that we should be grateful for.